Let's call the meeting to order. Everyone's got a copy of the agenda?
Yes.
Are you happy with the agenda? Any additions, subtractions?
No.
Absolutely. Okay. I don't have to vote on the agenda.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Motion to accept the agenda?
Motion to accept the agenda.
All right, I'll second.
Okay. Everybody say aye.
Aye.
And the minutes?
May 22nd?
May the 22nd. Any comments on the minutes?
No.
Okay, so a motion to accept the minutes as...
I'll make a motion to accept it.
Rapidly through this.
And those are the amendment to the rules of procedure is what we had reviewed in May, because you have to review them one meeting prior to the actual vote. So today will be the actual vote on accepting those changes, and the changes are highlighted in yellow.
Okay. So we don't need any discussion of this. We've had the discussion. Anybody
have a discussion?
Unhappy with what they see?
Okay, then we'll need a motion.
Okay. So we need a motion to accept the rules of procedure as modified.
Second.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now we're on to our training session. We're pleased that John will be with us. Our annual update or annual review from John. Over to you.
Yes, sir. As I understand it from the Board of Adjustments, they kind of wanted to do some sort of training, introducing an older case maybe to go over it, so that y'all will be able to ask any questions. I think you were on the board when this one went through, so were you. If I'm not mistaken, the training was not. So, Josie graciously prepared kind of an outline going over a case that was 6 years ago, I believe. 6 years ago. It was by no means this short, but she compressed it into 3 pages here. And so you've got 2 different packets here. One's the training that kind of goes into it more in depth, you know, what responsibilities of the Board of Adjustment is, and then the yellow sheet that gives you even a quicker introduction of what your responsibilities are, and then we'll jump right into the case if y'all are okay with that. Has everybody had a chance to read these? Yeah. It's not December yet, right, Eric?
Not yet.
Well, I'll start off then. The Board of Adjustment is a quasi-judicial administrative body that operates on a level between enforcement officers and the courts. And the main reason that is because it's a lot easier and a lot cheaper for residents, property owners, or just individuals that are trying to come down here and be a resident or property owner. In an instance where, if I made a decision not to issue a permit, they would have to actually go to court and spend quite a bit of money in order to reverse my decision or to appeal my decision. And that is why the Board of Justice was established. Your statutory powers and duties: correct error or abuse administration by the enforcement official. And most of the time that's going to come through an appeal to a decision that I've made in a basic ordinance decision. Hopefully you'll never catch me abusing that administration, but it is there as a catch-all. Consider certain special cases where the ordinance directs. We haven't had one of those since I've been here. I'm not even sure what would fall in the parameter of a special case that the ordinance directs. So I don't anticipate that coming anytime soon. And the third is the grant relief when there is a hardship. Those are mostly, that one, number three, is probably the one that we get most of all. People think that they're going to be able to prove a hardship for one reason or another. It turns into a long, drawn-out process. Types of appeals brought before the BOA, interpretation of ordinance. That one is also one that comes along quite a lot. Interpret the meaning of an ordinance that may be unclear. It's very clear to me, but it's not very clear to them. And then we get to duke it out here in a meeting. Apply the ordinance to particular fact situations. The biggest thing that you'll have to consider, though, is that you can't vary ordinance. At that point, you're making an interpretation of the ordinance.
Do you explain that when people, when they decide they're going to appeal? Do you tell them that? Because one of the things that always seems to me is they always come in feeling like we can change the ordinance if we can't.
Feel free to ask questions during my answer. I'm in the ordinance every single day. I think I've got a pretty clear understanding of it. I've only had one case ever turned down by the board. Bottom line, when you have an appeal to my decision, that's somebody else that has picked out one line in the ordinance that thinks that one line applies to them and allows them to do what they would like to do. When, in fact, you have to take the whole ordinance into perspective and not just that one line. And so, when they come to you, in my opinion, what I see happen is they want that one line to apply to them and they don't even consider anything else. And so, as you've seen in the past couple, they will drive in a certain paragraph of words.
Yeah.
Enjoy it and try to make you think the way they're thinking. And that's the best answer I can possibly give you from my viewpoint. And that's probably a biased answer. Do you have a better one for that?
Well, it certainly could be that. It could be that, absolutely. It's conceivable that they just have a different take on the meaning of the words. But certainly, usually somebody has a vested interest and they're coming to it with their own bias, want to move a project forward or whatever, and they're saying, no, that didn't mean this, and they'll underline one sentence. I mean, that certainly happens.
Sometimes they come and say, well, I know what the ordinance says, but where the deck was 2 foot out. They were kind of saying to us, well, we're a special case because we've already, I think it was almost like we've already started building it and therefore you've got to let us finish it. It was the kind of, that was what it was like. And their appeal was, I know what the ordinance says, but I'd like you to give me effectively a variance on it.
Well, what they're basically, and what I've heard, is they're saying, I can't get sufficient use out of my property unless you grant this variance and allow me to build a bigger deck or out 2 more feet or over, I can't get sufficient use of my property. And the ordinance says, they can't get sufficient use of their property. But that's what they go on. But that's not really what the ordinance is saying. But that's what I hear these people come with us.
The reason for asking the question is I hate people to spend money to appeal to the Board of Adjustments thinking we can do what we can't do.
I've heard John many times. No, I haven't heard him tell people. But he's explained in our meetings, and I've been on the board now almost 10 years. So he's explained to me, yes, I told them. But I also told them the only recourse they have is to come here if that's what they want to do. So John does explain, how far we can go into these people, as well as, what cases have come before it before and how we voted. And they just seem to think, I can bat my eyes a little bit.
I really do try to, and the case that you're talking about in particular, that gentleman actually researched every BOA case that we've had for 10 years prior to this case to find out what I was telling him was the truth, and he still decided to come before the board. you know, I don't necessarily want to be here, but at the same time, I like having a case here and there because it reaffirms.
It just seems like a waste of, was it $350? Is
it costs us much more than that, actually.
Well, it costs him.
It costs him. And it ends up costing the town usually about another $200 on top of that, depending on if he's here or not.
It's a tough thing because if it's, you know, John's decision that they're appealing, it puts him in a tough spot to say, well, no, you can't go forward with that because it doesn't meet the standard. You almost have to let them come and make their argument, however frivolous it may be. But it's true. It is a shame.
Can I answer the question?
Yes.
I have a question. How do you determine the fee?
It's a council mandates that fee. That's $375.
Well, would not the council not have a fee to cover the real cost?
We've ran over a couple of times. And part of that is we don't have any idea how long that meeting is going to last. Mm-hmm. In particular, the last one we had on Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah, the marathon.
Yeah, the marathon. Not the marathon.
Yeah, that was a little weird at midnight.
So you're calling it marathon, gotcha. Yes, that one in particular. The main reason we ran over on that was because the court stenographer was here. And I believe it's $75 an hour to have him here, and then it's another $50 an hour to have him transcribe everything. By the time we got the right numbers.
Lengthy.
By the time we got everything back, I think it cost us, went over by about $400. So to have him argue his case, it costs the town, well, it costs all in all about $800 and costs the town $400. So we can make it any fee that we'd like to, doesn't mean it's always going to cover it.
True. It just seems to be that, in my opinion, if you get a lot of frivolous cases, you know, people just, well, $375 or doesn't seem like it's that much, I'm going to do it. Going to cost the town money, you know, might be some thought about putting a fee over there just to make them think before they do it.
Yeah, and usually that actually makes them think pretty hard. That's a lot of money to most people.
Well, yeah, I agree.
I've been in two cases with that gentleman, though, and it was the same both times. You've been in enough of that you don't have that much to talk about. So anyway, the next one is the relief of hardship. This is probably the most important of this list, and that is because the hardship cannot be monetary. There actually has to be an issue with their land, an issue with their house, medical issues, something along those lines. That would be considered a hardship. It can't be that you spent $50,000 already, and now you can't do what you want to do.
Meaning that if, what's that little house that was over here on 4th Street? You mentioned the medical thing. If they had to put a ramp out, would that qualify as a hardship?
That was one thing that, the one you're talking, I think that was right after you got on the board.
No, I was here for that one. The couple was remodeling, they were firemen or something, or policemen or one, something like that. It was the little house on 4th
Street.
They wanted to do the porch.
Yep. They didn't meet the setbacks already, and they wanted to add on to their porch.
Right, but for a hardship, if they wanted, say, they had to have a wheelchair ramp, would that qualify as a hardship?
That's up to y'all. But yeah, I would consider that a hardship.
Right.
And in a case like that, personally, you know, it's hard to keep your personal feelings out of it, but that would be one that I would say, yeah, that's no doubt, you know.
Just for, you know, the hypothetical situation, if it was... If they brought it to us and needed to have a wheelchair ramp and there was nowhere else to put it, and they brought, you know, the option and the plans of how they're going to do it, that would qualify as a hardship.
Yeah, I've never really seen one with a medical issue, but it certainly is closer than just a strictly financial, you know.
Sure.
A lot of the trend we've had is that the hardship actually goes with the land and not necessarily with the people. And that's kind of how I view a lot of things. But I imagine if John...
That is the bad part. Yeah.
If John saw that there was a hardship, that they needed a handicap ramp, you probably would...
approve it, will you not? So then it comes to us, and we have to make a decision. And like I said, with me, and all the training I've been through in the last few years, it's been, you know, the hardship goes to the land. If there's something in the land that means you have to build around it, and you need a variance to do that, you do that. But to put up a handicap ramp, it doesn't fall within those parameters, as far as I've seen it in the past.
Because we haven't had that many come in. We haven't had any come in. Why not?
It is possible. You know, it's something we have to consider. And really, it throws a different perspective on what our answer may be.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good point. I guess it's obvious, but the next person could live in that house perfectly well. You know, so that's totally linked to the individual, not the land. So it would take some reaching, probably.
Yeah, I think what John would do is, you know, before it ever got here, was have them look at other options. And for some reason, the land or property or whatever would not facilitate other options to do that, then it's something the board would have to consider.
Yeah. There's actually a case on, it's not a case yet, but it potentially could be. I've got one on Dow Avenue. I've got for the storage building, and it's 10-foot rear setback. Been trying to get him removed, told him to come to to BOA. The whole reason he's got that thing there is to store different items for his medically ill child. I don't really know why he needs a storage building.
And you might not want to say any more in case it does come before them.
Good point. Anyway, got a couple that could potentially come on that. Okay, appeals and applications. I'm not real sure what I was supposed to go over right here, other than first thing that came to mind right away. Y'all all seen it in these meetings. Somebody will file an appeal to my decision, but then turn around in the middle of the meeting and ask for a variance. And once you get started in that meeting, you can't just arbitrarily switch to going to a variance. Had that happen a couple times. That's correct though, right?
Yeah, I mean, because it ties into the notice requirements and all that, you know, that folks are entitled to know what's going to happen at the meeting, and if they say, well, that was an appeal, and, you know, and they say all of a sudden, say, I want a variance, it's not what they've argued for. So, you know, it kind of ties into another thing. It's just, I think it's important to keep those two different. Because that, you know, appeals versus variances, there really are different animals. They can come halfway through and say, you know, what I meant to say was, you know, I want a variance instead.
What if someone filed the application and paid the money and had second thoughts and decided they didn't want to do it? They didn't want to go through with it. What happens?
If we've already advertised and spent any kind of office hours, we're not going to refund that fee, but we will cancel a meeting at the request that has to be in writing.
What they forfeit is their $375. They will, you know, that's it. That's basically it, right?
Yeah.
Hey, so who gives the advice about whether it's an appeal or a variance?
I do. I am that contact.
Yeah.
They can come talk to the town clerk and talk to our town attorney, anybody that they'd like. But believe me, I do my due diligence. Very, very aware.
And then you're a party to the case, so they may want to talk to somebody else.
And they have every right to do so.
Yeah.
But primarily, they will come.
So we provide them, they can talk. We provide them some other resources that the town does.
Yes.
Make that decision.
And I flipped over to the page in the other packet that actually goes over the appeals and applications bullet point here. And what Josie has outlined here is that all board members and alternates should familiarize themselves with the appeal process.
Where are you?
The last page is a white sheet that says training on top.
I
process from start to end, and it's located in your zoning book that you should have. If you do not, let me know. I believe everybody's got one though, right?
I believe so.
I would agree, but I haven't.
I know that everybody's got spare time to pick up their zoning book. Well, you know, when you know a case is coming up, good idea to flip through it.
What is this one? He says expiration of permits.
I'm guessing, I mean, would that be, you know, a determination that a permit has expired?
It's not reissued. Well, I'm not sure what that is, Ben.
If you issue a building permit, how long does it last?
If you don't have an inspection within 6 months, it dies. If you get an inspection within 6 months, it's good from a year from that date.
So the building has to be completed within a year?
No, the building does not have to be completed. It's just got to have an inspection within 6 months, and that permit stays good.
And then another, and it's good for a year, and then you can do another inspection, and it's good for another year.
Yep.
So it can go?
Sure.
Indefinitely, as long as you meet the inspection criteria.
Yep.
It seems like that would be pretty cut and dry, but I guess you could have some issue about somebody says, I got an inspection within a certain time frame, and then there's a dispute about that as to whether it actually expired or not. You know, that would be, I mean, that'd be a good example of an appeal, you know, the appeal of a determination whether a permit's actually expired or not.
I had that happen with a gentleman one time throughout the years. He actually passed away past year. He got his permit thinking that we were going to change the ordinance saying you couldn't build a duplex on his lot anymore. So he got a permit. And then he didn't do anything with it. He put a pile in the ground and asked me to come out and do an inspection. Did that for about 3 years and passed away last year. Weird.
But that was enough, I guess, to keep it alive.
Yeah, it was.
So it's not real demanding.
No. So I'm guessing that's what it is.
Why wouldn't there not be an expiration?
Because it's an active permit and there are inspections being done.
Good. Inspections continue on.
Yep.
Now, I've worked in cities where they do have time limits.
We don't have a time limit for the city. I'm not sure that the state addresses it, but I'd have to do some research on that.
You know, in other jurisdictions and municipalities, they do have time limits that I've worked in.
I don't know. I don't think that to you on the time of I don't know.
I just find that, you know, interesting. It just kind of like it carries forever.
Yep. Appropriately made to Camo. to give you a little more insight into this, the applicant was applying for a variance. I think it's linked better in there. The applicant is applying for a variance to have a single-family house in the B1 district because the CAMA setbacks were restricting him from having a business that would be large enough to be a viable business. And that was why he came before the board. The applicant is requesting relief in a form of variance. It was agreed that a CAMA permit would be required. With the size of the home intended, there would only be a 60-foot setback. With the required setback of 120 feet, the only thing the applicant would build is a 37-foot by 250-foot structure. Although physically possible, that type of structure would not be economically feasible. The attorney for the applicant testified that 30% of the properties in the B1 district are residential. The applicant believed the residential structure would be constructed as long as it complied with, could be constructed as long as it complied with the regulations pertaining to RA1A. The attorney believed that granting a variance would resolve the situation and allow BOA to decide on a case-by-case basis. He further indicated that Article 4 of the Kiri Beach Ordinance regarding supplemental district regulations is applied to all zoning districts. Section 323.5 states that residents shall be allowed in all districts. The current CAMA setbacks require double the setback amounts. The current properties do not comply as they were grandfathered in. He indicated that 14 of the 41 properties in the B1 district are used for residential purposes and that allowing this would become a residential property and would not upset anything. If the variance is not granted due to setbacks required both by the town of Kiri Beach and CAMA, it results in only a 37 feet of property that can be utilized and therefore creates a hardship. Kramer, who's Kramer?
Attorney.
Our attorney stated that there is no economic viability if the use is restricted to commercial. His client wishes to build four homes of less than 5,000 square feet, and his client cannot use the property as a hotel. The property was obtained through a bankruptcy, and he believes that it is a hardship because no practical use of the property can be made if it were to remain a business. He believes the harmony requirement is met because his clients are promoting a betterment of the community, which would lessen congestion and overcrowding of land and encourages continued use of the land. Attorney stated that there was no economic sustenance and further stated that public safety, welfare, and substantial justice are assured because his clients can promote the welfare of the citizens by assuring an economically viable use is being made of the property. George testified that residences were allowed due to grandfathering and other commercial possibilities may be viable. Y'all should have plenty of questions for me.
I don't remember this case. This person, I would imagine, was probably about Atlantic Avenue. And he wanted to build four single-family homes instead of business in that, but he had to, the extra 20-foot setback he couldn't do, or he had to comply with that extra, I'm sorry, 60-foot setback.
The problem was, let me go back. We denied the first permit application that he brought in for a house. He took us to BOA, and he won that case appealing my decision as building inspector, saying that houses couldn't be allowed in the B1 district. So then I denied the CAMA permit because it did not follow our land use plan.
Okay.
That's when he brought this case to the BOA, requesting a variance due to the setbacks imposed by CAMA. And the reason the setbacks imposed by CAMA were such a hardship is that if you wanted to build a building that was larger than 5,000 square feet, the setback distance doubled. So it went from 60 feet to 120 feet.
Okay.
That's when he said, there's no way that I can build a business that's only 37 feet wide and make it a viable business. And came to the BOA and voiced that hardship for a variance. My argument, extensive argument, to BOA was that the hardship did, was not due to town regulations or town ordinances, but was with CAMA, and that he should take this to CAMA and ask for a variance from CAMA so he could build a bigger business. His whole entire argument to the BOA was that I can't build a viable business, and that was the only information that he provided to the BOA. Can I explain it a little better?
Yeah.
Do you remember it now?
Yeah, it's filtering back in a little bit.
So the lane was how big? You said the structure was 37 by 250.
If he wanted to build a structure larger than 5,000 square feet, his building footprint would have been 37 by 250.
So the lane was... this is multiple lots?
Yes, sir, four lots.
Four lots. And they were... the setback is from the ocean in?
Yes, sir.
So they were 250 this way, long. So there was 120 feet off the 250.
No, they were 100 foot deep.
100 foot deep?
Yeah, the line that you measure from the ocean, it's all the way in the dune line.
Okay.
So you meant start your measurement from there. And by the time you got up into his lot, it was only 37 feet deep. Does that make sense?
Got it.
So it's not actually from the beginning of his lot. It's actually from a whole separate area that's designated by CAMA.
So he only had 37 usable feet of the 100?
If he wanted to build a building larger than 5,000 square feet.
Got it. But if he was going to build a residential...
No, he could have built commercial buildings.
He could have built commercial buildings if it met this setback.
Sure.
But if it was...
Or if you build a building less than 5,000 square feet.
Yes.
Or a building less than 5,000.
And he could definitely build a residential structure. Is it, was that no issue because of the 323.5?
No. He could not build a residential structure either.
Did he exceed 5,000?
No, it's a business district, so he couldn't build one there.
Okay.
So what happened with that section? I mean, the way it's quoted, it says that residences are allowed in all districts.
I'll read the section off to you real quick. I'm not quite right here. Change that ordinance. I don't remember what it said now. I think after that, P&Z took it over and we changed the ordinance. Basically, what it said was, if you can't use it for anything else, you can at least use it for a single-family residence as long as it meets RA1A district regulations, which basically imposed setbacks.
Is there a square footage requirement there?
It had to be less than 5,000 square feet if you wanted to maintain the 60-foot setback from a CAMA line.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the setback is just for the building, it does not include the yard or anything, the stairs or anything like that. It's from the main footprint of the building.
Yes, sir.
There's also, I mean, if he was going to build a residential, I mean, a commercial building, it had to be 37 by 250. parking would still be in the setback.
Yes.
But there's a bunch of businesses in Cherry Beach that are less than 5,000 square feet.
Yes, sir.
Probably one of the largest businesses we get.
Probably would.
You didn't see it like that?
The board never asks questions like you just asked.
I mean, I
I'm just
trying to think through this thing. Okay, there's other thriving businesses that are less than 5,000 square feet. I mean, you could probably have multiple levels, as long as it's stayed under 35 feet. So I don't know what, you know, what the design would look like. So he could have had a viable business there, parking in the setback.
This didn't have to be one business, right?
It didn't have that. I guess he had a picture that he wanted, what he wanted, more flexibility with the property, but to have a viable business was not the intent. I mean, it was not the hardship, because he could have one, because it would have been bigger than anything we already had in the business district. Less hotels. And he wasn't going to use it for a hotel, what I gather.
No, there was a hotel on it.
It wasn't. It didn't seem like it was going to be a hotel.
He bought the properties with the purpose of building a single family house on it.
Okay.
That was my entire argument then for the entire hearing of the case. The applicant has provided no proof that he has done any kind of viable research into a viable business. He has presented no alternatives, no nothing, and you're about to change our ordinance so he can build a single family house in our B1 district. Mm-hmm. Well, I kept throwing that out, but right, it fell upon deaf ears. Sorry, Harry.
No, it just doesn't seem like it's, you know, my thinking, it seemed like he had options. This might have not been the option he wanted.
No, it wasn't the option he wanted. He wanted to build, he wanted to put residential in the business district.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I remember correctly, his point was is that we allow residential area in business districts, and I think in here it shows that 14 of the 41 properties in B1 district are residential. So he was trying to push the fact that we allow residential. And we should allow him to have it.
And my argument to that over and over again was that just about every one of those were built in 1950 or later.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the time when they were built. So
yeah,
they probably, it was not a business district.
They were maintained as a non-conforming building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he makes some absolute statements. Like, you know,
it went on for, I mean, this
is this and this. What do you
think? I think this was a 2.5-hour hearing, if I'm not mistaken. It was long.
But the person never came here with the intentions of building a commercial building?
No, he bought those. As soon as he bought them, he came in and applied for permits.
Doesn't seem like it's too difficult a decision for me.
Yeah, I don't remember how I voted on that, but
I don't even hear.
It seems kind of overshot to me.
I almost wish they had prepped Holt to argue against me. I know. The next time we do this, we're going to have a two-side opposing argument now.
The role play.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm biasing y'all.
no, I'm just looking, I mean, I'm asking questions to get facts. I mean,
right.
The ordinances are this, you can do this, can't, you know, you don't have control over cannabis, the town doesn't, it is what it is, you just got to accept it. And when you buy property or build in that area, that's just one of the things that's outside, it's another influencer to your property that John or the town of Curious Beach has no control of. And you just have to accept it.
Yeah, and then Cameron does have various procedures that he could go through.
Sure, yeah.
Didn't even attempt.
Well, that's...
And the board never even, no matter how many times they threw it at him, they never even said, yeah, that's right. You probably ought to try, since your issue is with them, why don't you try with them first? But,
and so we did not, we
you approved the variance.
We approved the variance. Wow.
We can go through these questions on the next page and take a vote as to how this board would vote. And you blew it.
I just blew it.
Yeah.
I wasn't supposed to tell you that. What happened?
The answer.
Well, we can do it anyway.
Nothing's changed my mind. It's like,
and these questions, we would have to answer that in any case.
Right, right. These are basically the questions you would be posed at the hearing and then take a vote and see how this board would have.
I mean, was there any substance behind he believed it's a hardship because no practical use of the property to be made if it were.
Well, that was his interpretation.
Yeah,
that's what he said. That's why they come here saying it's hardship because I can't get a reasonable use out of my property, and that as John's saying that.
Really, I just wondered, that did he provide any substance to that, or did he give any justification for that?
To the best of my recollection, he's been in building development for 30 years. The profit to loss just wasn't going to work for him with any kind of business that he could foresee putting in there to make it worthwhile. That was pretty much it. It wasn't any more than that. They didn't offer any alternatives and nothing.
I mean, it might be an overstatement, but if somebody buys a property as an investment and then is seeking to do a variance to do something else with it, that's almost hardly ever going to pass. You know, almost never going to suffice. Because they've taken that risk when they bought it, you know. So they can't then come to the town and say, change this so I can make this viable.
Right.
You know, we got
to
stand.
Later when he tried to put that staircase out. That other building that he was moving into, said he wanted that outside staircase.
Which one?
Didn't that same guy, isn't it where Kip Dolan's place was?
No.
Shit.
I can't believe you can't remember this. This is really depressing. I remember it like yesterday. I was so damn mad.
So
on this one, I mean, I'm just trying to clarify it in my mind. Could they have done a less than 5,000 square foot house and had the...
No.
He wasn't allowed to miss that at all.
This is part of the problem. Okay.
Because all the properties that were grandfathered in, that he, 14 of the 41 properties, 30%, were grandfathered. There weren't any new residential properties built in the B1 area. You know, to me it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's a doable business deal. If for some reason that he couldn't have any parking or couldn't use that setback for parking, that would have been a whole different issue, but that wasn't the case.
Not at all.
And it would have been, if he used the full amount to build a business in that 37 by 250 area that he could build a structure, it would have been the biggest one we had. So, I don't have any hard feelings, the sympathy, changing it, personally.
I mean, it seems to tie in, too, with the whole concept of a use variance, which are generally prohibited across the board. you know, when you're, what you're asking for is to use it, you know, to use the property for a different type of use, you know, as opposed to a dimensional change. You know, so if residential really was not allowed in that business district, then that'd be another reason it should be prohibited, because it, it would constitute a use variance, which you're not.
Right.
Those are, you know, that's kind of, in a way, it's kind of nice if that comes up, because that's an easy answer, you know, supposedly.
Someone buys a piece of property, they buy it with an understanding of what it can be used for, right?
I believe most people try to do that, yeah.
So, if he knew that he couldn't do this or do that, then that was a conscious decision. You know, if I had an extra couple million dollars laying around, I'm certainly going to make sure that I knew what I was going to spend it for.
Well, I would think. You would think.
Last time I looked, and the property's rather expensive.
So, y'all ready to go through the questions?
Sure. Finding facts. See, what we have to do for these things, though, is do the finding facts, and then we come up, and it also has to be written up properly, too, so you put the wrong word in the wrong spot.
That's right.
So in question number one, did the applicant follow ordinance requirements of chapter 19? Did he follow the ordinance requirements of chapter 19?
Chapter 19.
Basically all it's asking, did he come to me first? Did he apply for the permit? Did I, you know, do all that? So most of the time the answer will be yes.
Yes.
Great.
We can just say that in the question.
And procedurally, it sounds like it was okay.
And then the second one, of course, does the evidence indicate that the hardship with the applicant complains results from unique circumstances related to the applicant's land and as a result of the applicant's own actions?
It's not a result of the land. It's basically to...
That one's a little tricky because you need, if you're going to grant a variance, you need to find yes, that's to the first part of that, and no, for the second part.
Yeah, it's a two-part question.
Yeah.
That's the one we've always had a problem.
Right. I think we tried to split that up.
And just hard work. Yeah, didn't work. And then, of course, does granting the variance preserve the spirit and harmony with the general purpose and the intent of the ordinance? That's absolutely no. As far as I'm concerned.
And that result of the applicant's own actions, you know, you could be telling answers. But, I mean, arguably that ties into when somebody buys a property, you know, and then says, I want you to change it. You know, like you bought it knowing it was commercial, you know.
I'm like, yeah, so it was his own action.
Kind of, you know.
What was the time period from he bought it to deciding you want to do a permit?
He bought it in 05, I believe, and this came up in 06.
So it was a year or less. Okay.
Not absolutely to be 100% positive, but it was within a year, year and a half timeline, yes.
Well, the first part would be a yes, and the second one would be a no.
is the land, is the result of the applicant's own actions.
So it is because of...
It is because of his own actions, because see, he wanted to put something in there.
You need to know it, yes, that...
Yeah, that's what I meant, that he wanted to put something in there that wouldn't allow.
Yes.
Number three, granting to preserve the spirit and harmony. I would say absolutely not, no. And anytime you get a no, then you can't give a variance, so that's done. All right, move on. But what would be the finding of fact there? That not keeping the harmony and the spirit of the intent of the ordinance. The ordinance, the finding factor is the ordinance says you can only have commercial property.
Right, yes.
So it would not be keeping in the spirit of the ordinance.
Correct.
That's how we would have to word that answer. I never quite understood a grant of variance as the public safety and welfare assured. As long as you're not putting something up there that's going to hurt somebody, I mean, what difference does that make? Because public safety and welfare assured. I know we've had some questions in the past about, especially that household porch, people that wanted to build the porch outward instead of this way. A lot of the argument there, I think, was, correct me if I'm wrong there, that if we allow this, you know, for this one, everybody else is going to want to encroach.
Yeah, but they almost took that thing down to the shell. They could have moved it back and built the porch.
Right.
It was.
They could have built a whole new house.
And I guess like an adjacent property of a property owner could be considered part of the public. You know, like if a variance was allowed like right up to the neighbor's property line, you know, you could say that's not in the public welfare. Mm-hmm. At least it's not to that person's welfare. You know, might impact their maintenance of their yard or whatever. Okay. So that'd be another.
House set for sale.
They said they weren't going to sell it to you,
remember? What for financial gain? It was their dream.
It was their dream home, that's right. That's right.
They didn't end up getting that, did they, the porch? Yeah, that was kind of a real issue.
So, the answer to that, I don't see the public safety and welfare is affected either way.
Right, that was a bit out.
Number five, substantial justice won't be done, whatever it is. If you want a variance.
Yeah, I would say no to that, number five, also due to the fact that, you know, like I said, I don't remember how I voted on it. Yeah, he was going to use it for something that wasn't designed for. So to him, yeah, if you didn't do any justice.
Read your answer keys now.
Okay, so.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
You got thrown under the bus now, aren't you? See, I was the one.
You may have been, and I think you might have been, yeah.
And the ayes, the yeses for the 4 and 5, you know, like I said, I never really quite understood that part, but number three, I probably not have been, yes. Number one, I wouldn't, yeah, yes. And then the split of yeses for number two. That's probably
it's the answer the other way around, of course.
Yeah. But yes, I can see with everything being yes, we overturned your decision, didn't we?
Yep.
Wow.
Okay, now. Sure. You want to know where this is now?
Yeah, where is it?
I guess.
Still don't know.
Where we're building Ocean Front Park.
Oh, it was all rolling serve motel.
That was good.
Yes, okay.
That's right.
He was operating as a motel when all this was going down. Yes, sir.
That really makes the cut.
That's, he could have done fine with a business there.
I never understood it, Harry. I mean, like I said, I just...
Oh, my God.
The mayor came to me at the end of the meeting and told me I went too far. I shouldn't argue so much. But that's a different story. The mayor at that time, not the mayor now.
Who was the mayor? Was that Betty?
Betty was off of that.
Nathan Sanders.
Nathan Sanders.
That was a year before I started. That was our president in the paper.
That's interesting.
I never understood it, but I don't know.
They were able to go inside the camo setback?
No, they weren't allowed to go inside the camo setback. He was just using the camo setback in order to get what he wanted.
So I said, but screwed him up on the business part.
So what happened?
I've got to do the rest of it.
I don't know why he never built. And then everything fell out. Basically, this happened, was it March of 06? What do you got right there?
April
of 06. It was April of 06. He never did anything. I tore down, took him to the hotel. And then December of 07 is when the town bought it from him. And then tore down the hotel. Then it's a weird chain of events. I've got my own suspicions of what's going on, but I don't know. Thank God he never built them there. But at the same time, look at what we got there now. It's a nice park. It costs a bunch of money.
Did they ever finish it?
If they ever finish it.
With a pirate ship.
Tear it down.
So this one's been haunting me since 2005. I'll be glad when it's done.
You keep making them tear it down.
We can't get any use out of that land.
I think it's going to be a park with very bright grass in it, by the looks of it. We get a little pirate ship, bathrooms, and I think we've got four lots.